Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, Sports City. Welcome to the brunch. Let's go.
For their purchase. We surely appreciate it. But you about to witness is my thoughts.
Just my thoughts, man.
Right or wrong, just what I was feeling at the time. You ever felt like this? Vibe with me.
Okay. The call-in number is 929-477-2759. We got you locked and loaded for the next 60 minutes here in the building. Y'all could have been anywhere else in the world, but y'all are here with the chefs. I have Matt with me this morning. Matt, welcome to the brunch. How are you feeling?
What's going on, my man? This is the King of March, a.k.a. Peachtree's Finest, coming here on a Sunday. How we doing today, Ty?
Doing all right with a big shake-up throughout the, I more or less want to say the evening last night, but a lot of stuff that went on throughout the day yesterday has me at the edge of my seat. Can't wait to, like, get into a lot of this stuff and get this Sunday moving. I'm feeling kind of Sunday, and oh yes, this is the first weekend in March, so that March Madness feeling is here. There's been some upsets, there's been some shakeups, and oh yes, we have an interesting injury as well to get into. First and foremost, I want to go over college basketball from yesterday, some of the scores and things that went down yesterday. Number one ranked Kansas edges out Texas Tech. This took place in Texas. They won this game 66-62, in which Texas Tech tried to make it interesting late, but still came up short. I respect where Kansas is at right now, but I feel like this could actually end up slipping out of their grasp. We'll see. I think they probably will end up winning the Big 12, even though they have Baylor to deal with, which I'll be getting to Baylor in a minute. But the Big 12 has its intrigue. At least I'll say that for the most part. The Big 12 has its intrigue. This next situation I'm going to get into, right? Like, I want to say I've been watching it for the past month or so, but, like, as of last night, the way things were going down, I'm a fan of Obi Toppin. This kid is a riot. He's, like, this year's version of Zion, not as powerful as Zion, but he does damage with what he's doing right now. Dayton takes care of business up against George Washington, 76-51, in which this guy caught a 360. He did an East Bay dunk. This kid is incredible. He had 27-5-5 in a matchup. They ended up blowing them out by 25. Dayton, number three ranked. I hope they can get to two or whatever, but hey, wherever they stand at right now, this is an impressive season for Dayton to be 29-2 on the season. The next matchup I have is Baylor and West Virginia. Baylor loses this game, and this is why I wanted to get into this with you, Matt, and see how you felt about this. Now, just talking about Kansas and its intrigue, and they lost the game, falling out of the top spot and worked their way back up to the number one rank, which Baylor had the number one seed, and they've lost several games since. They lose this game to Bobby Huggins, West Virginia Mountaineers, in which the Mountaineers aren't playing the best of ball. This just put them at 500 for the season in Big 12 play at 9-9. Your thoughts on, I mean, the three games that I mentioned so far with Kansas, Texas Tech, Dayton and George Washington, and then Baylor losing this game up against West Virginia, and how you feel about the Big 12?
Yeah, you had a little bit of a shakeup with Baylor going down. Not that surprised, though. They haven't been playing that good late. Kansas does look strong. Give Kansas credit for taking care of business in a hostile environment. You know, Kansas has got to be the number one overall seed in the tournament. You know, there's going to be a couple dark horse teams in the Big 12, but ultimately, you know, you can't fade Kansas this time of year. I think they have their best team they've had in probably 5 years. So look for Kansas to be the number one overall seed. As far as Baylor goes, you can't lose games like that. You know, that's looking a little bit dicey coming down the stretch. I don't know if Baylor's got the big guns to hold on. I do think Baylor will play Kansas in the championship. I think that'll be the Big 12 championship game probably next week at some point. You know, as far as Bob Huggins, you got to give him a little bit of credit. You know, his guys had been playing very well, but he rallied them together. They were able to get that big win off against Baylor, and you're going to be somewhat of a sleeper team in the tournament. So you got to watch out for West Virginia. As far as Texas Tech, I believe they're on the bubble. I don't know if they're going to get in. I will mention Texas had a horrible showing at home yesterday against Oklahoma State. Shaka Smart, you might be on the hot seat, brother, if you don't get it together. But anyway, any other teams in the Big 12 that you like, Ty?
Well, right now the storm would be between the game that we talked about, Texas Tech, because they went as far as the national championship last year. Kansas is always a threat. As much as I always like talk crap about them, but I got to respect what Kansas does every year. The one thing that just bothers me about Kansas is that they can play 30, 31 games on a season, but it feels like they play 24 of those games at home. It's like every Saturday you see them at home, and they're comfortable, and they're cruising. And then it's like Bill Self, to me, is in the same – it's tough. I can't just, like, look at it, like, with this glaring look that I look at it. Bill Self, to me, is in a similar class of Calipari. These guys are great recruiters, get All-Americans to come to their school, and only has one national championship to claim. So I feel like that will be the matchup, whether it's Texas Tech or Baylor. West Virginia, of course, they're in the conference, but they may be a team that's on a bubble. They're 9-9. I think they'll probably have to win a game or two before the committee tries to go after them, because West Virginia's lost a lot of questionable games this season. But your thoughts on Dayton before I keep moving? Did you see what Obi Toppin was up to yesterday? And has he impressed you up to this part and have Dayton ranked number 3 in the nation?
I did actually catch a little bit of the second half of the Dayton game. It was on ESPN+. I was able to turn it on, and I have to admit, that guy put on a show. I mean, was it just me, or was he doing his own dunk contest in front of his home band on senior night? He went one through the legs that literally looked like it was a dunk contest that, you know, he was a breakaway dunk by himself where he went through his legs. Before that, I think he did a windmill or some reverse jam, but the guy put on a show. And for those of you that don't know about the Dayton Flyers, you better stay woke on that team. That team is a dangerous, dangerous team. I'm not sure if the committee will give them a one seed only because it's Dayton and they're known as a little bit of a smaller school. They deserve it. They absolutely deserve it. But they are a dangerous team. They have high flyers. They have guards that can shoot the three. They had a very, very sluggish first half yesterday. Only were up by one against George Washington. But then you saw that they gave G-Dub the separation notice at halftime. The coach got in there and chewed him out, and what do you get? You get an absolute blowout winner in the second half. They beat him by 25, I believe. But that kid can dunk. They got interior guys. They got guards. The team is going to be very tough to beat. I definitely have them as a potential Final Four team. Ty, your thoughts on Dayton making a nice run in the tournament this year?
This is the crazy part about it. I'm going to go against the grain on you in a good way. Committee, I hope you hear me. Dayton deserves their number one spot. For them to do what they have done and for the committee to see this throughout the season and have them rank number 3 at this point in time, when it's March and everybody's coming at them, and then you know people, you know, are licking their chops to try and knock them off because they're 29-2 to finish out they were 28-2 as of yesterday. So it's like we want to try to put a loss up on their record, and they can't really. So, like, they've done what they've done. You can't expect the storm from each team every year and then say, oh, well, that's the strength of schedule. They do what they're told to do, play the team that's on the schedule, and if they win, they win. They lose, they lose. For them to get their credit to be at number 3 in the nation right now, give them a number 1 rank. I'm tied up. The powerhouse is getting it, and then they fall off short. But this is the one thing that I have against Dayton, though, and not to say, like, I have it against them. It's just that history. And Dayton makes the dance a lot. They get there often, but then they'll end up losing in the second round. I don't really want to call them a lot of the times the first round knockout, but they'll play well, and then Dayton will fall somewhere. Like, I think one year they had an interesting run, but other than that, it's like they'll fall off. This is a team I don't want to see fall off because they have talent all across the board, just like you said. They defend well. They can get out and run. They can shoot the ball well also, and then they have a star that not only does everything, he can shoot, he can get to the rim, and you don't want to play around up there, and he's unselfish. He passes too. So it's like he's incredible to be where he is right now. I want to see Dayton continue their success. And, committee, I know you're probably not trying to hear what I'm saying because every one of you are stuck in your own skin, but I hope Dayton does get a number one seed. Okay, let me keep moving through these scores so I can get through. Utah State with the upset of the day, knocking off San Diego State 59-56 in the Mountain West Championship. Utah State stamps their ticket to the dance, in which it was an incredible three-point shot taken at the end of the game. March Madness is here. it's here. It's like, you could not run from it. I'm not sure if you've seen the shot or not, Matt. Did you see the shot in the Utah State-San Diego State game?
Yes, I did. The one that pretty much iced the game. The guy hit a three with about 2 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
That was unbelievable. Mm-hmm. I was watching that. I happened to – you know what's crazy? You know – this is all spontaneous, but I was both these games, Dayton and Utah State, I happened to catch what you're talking about. What are the odds of that? But that was a great game. I know San Diego State looks hurt. I think they lost the number one seed on that game. Ty, your thoughts?
Yeah, so that opens the door for Dayton. You're saying that you think Dayton won't be at one seed, and this is where it opens the door for Dayton to get their recognition. Man, just to see this happen, this is where the tears start flowing. Like people thinking that they got a shot to go into overtime or a shot to win the game, or somebody throws up a prayer from Afghanistan, and it's like all you just hoping is to hit the rim or hit the backboard. Do not just go straight through that rim, and then it'll be cash money. And it's like, what? And you looking around like, is there time on the clock? Did he travel? Like did he carry the ball? Like you hoping for nothing, so it's something. And they go to the dance off of that shot, man. And rest in peace, Luther Vandross. This is that when that song comes in, you know, the best shining moment. And this happened. This is the best part. That's why I love basketball. I love basketball just because Danny DeVito said this is the best theater in it. I agree with him 100%. The next matchup I have is Kentucky winning a nail biter up against Florida, 71-70, in which before this game Florida was favored to win the game up against Kentucky. And I'm like, this is the gripe that I have against Coach Cal, Coach Cal will be in these situations where he's got a stack line up and you can't really compete against them, and yet they'll end up losing a game. And they were in a situation where they could have lost this game up against Florida, but they hung on. Florida took a shot late, and it didn't hit, but he was close enough to hitting that shot. But Kentucky hung on late, 71-70. Moving right along, let me get through all of them. Florida State wins their game up against Boston College in a blowout, 80-62. Creighton blows out Seton Hall, number 8 ranked. This was for Creighton to win this game. They won 77-60. Creighton won this game and made it a 3-way tie at the top of the Big East. That's why I don't care what nobody say. And I know people are stuck in their skin about the ACC because they love Duke. They love North Carolina. The Big East is the best conference in basketball. For them to be, it's Creighton, it's Seton Hall, at the top of the conference. And it is a third team that's on Villanova. And Villanova is at the top of the conference as well. All of them are 13-5 in conference play right now, tied at first. But Creighton, I think, has the tiebreaker over all three of them. So they are the number one ranked in the Big East tournament that's coming up this week. But for them to take care of business up against Seton Hall at home, going up against Miles Powell, the Naismith finalist at this point, love it because it's family, you know, but they slowed him down. And this is the tough part about watching Miles play with this unit. If he double-teamed or they make sure they get the ball out of his hands, it's like somebody else on Seton Hall has to make a shot to do something significant, and it puts a lot of pressure on that team, and it's tough. I want to see Seton Hall do well because of, you know, personal reason, but for them to get beat this bad, I give a lot of credit to Coach McDermott getting these guys ready. And ready for the life of it, too, because knowing that this was a big matchup and it got Seton Hall so riled up that it was almost a fight in the middle of the game, too. But this is an excellent showing by Creighton. Creighton has done their job to close out the season 24-7 and 13-5 tied for the conference lead. Virginia wins their matchup against Louisville, an upset. Here, I'm telling you, March Madness is here. It's here. Virginia wins their matchup up against Louisville, 10th ranked. 57-54, even though I can't really poo-poo Virginia because Virginia is the reigning national champs, so they are defending their championship. Duke wins their matchup up against North Carolina, 89-76, in which the Tar Heels finished their season at 13-18. This is the worst season that Roy Williams has ever coached, and this is where I want to be fair to him, and I don't want people to look at what is going on this season. They are dealing with a ton of injuries. They did not have their whole team there all year long. So I want to give him his credit due. I am nowhere near a North Carolina fan at all. I got too many family members here that are North Carolina fans and in North Carolina as well. But just to see him put himself down and like, pity himself and talk about the coaching job he does, Roy, please get out of your head. It is not your fault. Plus, there's another guy coming from the Stanford area that will be the shooting guard with them, R.J. Davis, very close to this family. I mean, very close. So hopefully it gets right with him and Cole Anthony, and you'll at least have a strong backcourt. Hopefully the injury bug does not bite you guys. But in this game, David Robinson's son played and made some impressive plays. And Coach K calling David Robinson's son entering the game and playing and making shots better than the story of Rudy. So this was excellent stuff in a Tobacco Road matchup. Oregon wins their matchup up against Stanford, 80-67. Knowing Matt loves Auburn. Auburn wins their matchup in a blowout in Knoxville up against Tennessee, 85-63. And we have a Big Ten matchup, another upset. March is here, and this is the bad part about this. Northwestern wins their game up against Penn State at home in Illinois, 80-69, in which Penn State are 20th ranked. And at the beginning, well, I want to say midway point of the season, they were playing excellent ball. They had bigs in the paint that could get rebounds and crash the glass. They had shooters all around the three-point range. And now it's like they're falling apart at the wrong time in the month of March, in which they lost to a Northwestern team that is not only 8-22, right? They lost to a team that is 3-17 in the Big Ten, and the Big Ten is not that big talk basketball. Like, Michigan State's falling apart. Like, you got all these teams that are in the Big Ten that are not playing up to their expectancy. And for them to lose to Northwestern, and I know it's senior night. I know that these guys are charged up to go in there and play. This is an interesting one. I don't really want to call it a blowout. They lost by 11, but it's like Penn State is falling apart at the wrong time. More than likely, I think they will get a bid into the dance, but it's like, if they go to that dance, I feel like they'll be in trouble playing all of the teams that smell them bleeding. You know what I mean? They're in the water right now, so it's like they'll be in there bleeding. So they're going to have to defend themselves as best they can. But Penn State had an interesting story for the duration of the season until now. And last but not least, to round out the top 25, Wisconsin wins their matchup up against Indiana, 60-56 on senior night, and this happened in Bloomington in Indiana. Your thoughts on any game that may have caught your eye or something that I spoke on? If you want to talk about those Auburn Tigers, you can as well.
That was a crazy three games you mentioned. I happened to catch, I was paying attention to all three of those, Kentucky, Wisconsin, and Auburn. Auburn woke up. We needed it. You know, Bruce Pearl inspired the troops after an embarrassing home loss to Texas A&M on senior night, which was absolutely stunning. But we woke up. Tennessee is who we thought they were. Auburn is also who we think they are. Auburn is a top-tier team. Make no mistake. It's going to be tough, though. It's going to be tough down the tournament. There's so many good teams. You're right about Penn State inching their way in. Penn State is like a human that goes overboard in the sea and is bleeding, and a shark comes in the water as the other teams. The shark is looking for the blood of Penn State. Penn State is in trouble. We all know it. We saw it yesterday. They lost to a horrible Northwestern team. Give Kentucky absolutely the most credit ever. They were down about 17 yesterday on the road, hostile place, I believe, when missing a starter, came back all the way back And Coach Cal, they thought Coach Cal was thrown out of the game. They thought he got two technicals, but one of them was because he left the coach's box, which does not count as an ejection. Coach Cal actually walked to the locker room, thought he was ejected, and they told him he could come back. He came back. Kentucky came back. They stunned Florida, probably knocked Florida out of the big dance. That is a banner win for Kentucky for the season. You're going to have a very interesting SEC championship matchup when Auburn plays Kentucky next week. It'll be the rubber match. The series is split, and it will come down to solely the Zebras. The officials will decide that game. You know, I would love to see Auburn do it, but at the end of the day, Coach Cal has a little bit more power than Bruce Pearl, and he has a little more influence on the refs. The refs will decide that Kentucky is your SEC champion. Ty, your thoughts on Kentucky cutting down the nets in Nashville next week in the SEC championship?
Don't do that. Don't do that. Because here's the crazy part. I think with Coach Cal, he is always fighting with the refs. So if they don't give him a call, you always see him going back and forth with the refs. And that is the one thing that I do like about Coach Cal, because he's passionate as a coach. The only thing that I hold about him is that he's not as successful with the hardware, like bringing it back home. He needed that loaded Kentucky team to do it. But I think that they draw the line with him. They don't play with him. They kind of work him up, and they want to put him in his place. That's the funny thing about referees. It's like, they already huddle up before the game. They will, pick on the player that everybody came to watch and try to get him in foul trouble. I feel like it's all orchestrated, and they watch that coach that is getting that kid to be, one of the All-American Players of the Year, just i.e. setting up a story. And I think it's going to be – because both of them are passionate. Bruce Pearl and Calipari will be passionate. So I don't want to just say Kentucky's going to sit up there and just win the SEC. I think they'll probably be favored. But I think that you guys pose a threat. I think this is definitely a winnable situation, and especially the way that Auburn made the run last year, I think they got something to feed off of or grow off of as of last year going into this season. And Kentucky's lost to some teams that they should not have lost to. So the door is open. It's not like, they're going to outplay each other, let alone Florida almost won this game. Florida caught these guys with their pants down. So it's like everybody got a shot at knocking off Kentucky, man. It's not easy. Coach Cal, like I said, him and Bill Self are the same type of coach. He's got to get incredible athlete after incredible athlete to come there. And something always happens around the month of March, like they'll fall short. So it can happen. And like I said, you guys are probably composed the best threat to them if they get that far, or within trying to make that run, somebody can upset them. It does happen in Kentucky. It's just something about Coach Cal. He can get a guy in foul trouble, or he can get in the technical foul trouble and get outfit out of the game and then really put them behind the gun. So we'll see, but I don't want you to set that up. I want you to kind of believe in this, and I, even though I agree with you 100%, I don't want referees to decide the fate of a game. I just really – it bothers me in all sports, and that goes for everything in Sports City. I don't like when refs, start to enforce their will and it gets whistle-happy and every possession is a whistle-blown. Don't do that, because you take the integrity from the game. Nobody's having fun until the last 2 minutes where you guys can't really try to decide the game unless it's a critical foul or a traveling violation or something like that. But other than that, I hope that doesn't happen or present itself. Okay, so we'll get moving from that. This is a star-studded Saturday that went through quickly. I don't know if you caught it with the MMA situation with Israel Adesanya. He wins his matchup up against Yoel Romero in a unanimous decision, and this was a good five-round thrilling fight in the MMA. Israel actually, a lot of people said that they thought Yoel won the first two rounds, but then Israel came back and won the last three. I'm not sure if you caught it, but Israel retains his belt in that division, and knowing that the UFC is trying to keep its stride, this was one of those critical fights. And then in the boxing world, boy, oh boy, being that I'm 45 minutes from Brooklyn, New York, knowing that this guy, babyface Adam, will now let me get it right. Adam Kownacki, right, from Poland, but he's from Brooklyn. He was born in Poland. He moved to the United States at 7, and they call him babyface because he has that babyface look, but he's nowhere near a baby. I want to say he's 6'3", but he's a heavyweight boxer for sure.
but he's heavy, like he's out of shape, but he's a knockout artist. Like, but he, you know, people respect him, and he's been undefeated for a long time, and he's fought 9 times in, you know, the Barclays in Brooklyn. And this guy, but let me get this name correct. I want to say it correctly. Robert Kalenius. I'm saying this correctly, and I will make this. I'm writing this down on a poster, so every time I talk boxing, you are relevant in the conversation. Comes up with probably the best TKO I have ever seen. Now, a lot of people, when they fight Adam, they seem like they try to go toe-to-toe with him, trying to swing bomb for bomb, and then they'll get caught, and then he ends up laying them out because he basically, you know, steamrolling these guys. Hellenius came up with the best game plan that I ever seen, and I got to give him credit. He, in his last 3 fights up against undefeated fighters, he's undefeated. He's 3-0, right? So I'm up here like, what will he do with Taunaki? The first round goes, they both get caught in the face with a couple of blows, and then he starts working the body in the middle of the first round. I'm like, that is going to break Taunaki down. A lot of people don't go to his body because he's out of shape, right? So they get into the second round, and they're having a back and forth, and then he hits him. It's like he's working his body, and then he hits him with a two-piece. But they thought it was a slip. I'm up here screaming in my friend's living room. I'm like, no, that was not a slip. That was a punch. That was a knockdown. But they up there, the ref is up there screaming it's a slip. He's waving it off as a slip. But the way Taunaki got up, his legs were not under him. And Robert went right back after him and hit him with some more damaging punches, and he dropped. I'm like, see, I'm telling you, it wasn't a slip. He got back up, and he could barely throw a punch. He was winded. He was out of it. He couldn't get his bombs off at all. And just watching Hellenius just punch through him, and the ref just came in and stopped it. And it was like Taunaki's never been in that situation. And he got the fight stopped, and he got his first loss. And now Hellenius is 4-0 up against undefeated fighters. Tyson Fury should be on watch because the Hellenius guy is like 6'7", so it's another tall boxer in the heavyweight division. I hope the heavyweight division gets its storm back because they've been quiet for a long time. I really want to say since the reign of Floyd Mayweather, but excellent stuff for another upset. This Saturday was crazy. I'm not sure if you caught any of the UFC or the fight that happened on PBC with Taunaki and Hellenius. Your thoughts on that before we get moving?
I take your word on the boxing, Ty. I need to get back into it, but I did hear about the UFC fights. I heard the women's fight was arguably one of the best fights ever in women's UFC history. So I heard that it was also maybe a controversial decision. I heard the men's fight in the UFC did not really live up to the billing, and that's too bad. But I think we got some big fights coming up in the next couple months, so I'm sure it'll return. I don't know if Connor's fighting Floyd again or he's fighting UFC. They're still trying to, I think, figure it out. I think Floyd agreed to fight him again, but I don't know if it's scheduled or whatnot. But we got some interesting fights coming up. I will try to actually focus more on boxing a little bit because I do like boxing. I love that Tyson Fury fight. So, but that was a good analysis you gave, and I'm glad you made me aware of that because I was not aware of that fight yesterday. But yeah, boxing's a great sport.
Yeah, well, the Tyson Fury situation, this is the crazy part about the Tyson Fury. Floyd has actually put his name in the hat to try and train Deontay to beat Tyson Fury, which would be interesting, but I've never seen Floyd manage or be a corner guy. Like, he's done it with the guys that are around his weight, around, you know, welterweight and working with the guys at his gym, but never really in the corner during a fight. And for him to work with a guy like Deontay's going to have to get acclimated, whether he goes to Floyd's gym all the way in Vegas and start working out with him, or I doubt if Floyd goes to where he is in Alabama. But you know that he's going to have to try and go to, you know, overseas to try and fight Tyson Fury over there. So that's going to be crazy in itself to see how that fight ends up going down. So it's tough, but if Floyd can't work with him, I don't see Deontay winning that fight at all unless he comes out in the first round and just throws a haymaker out of nowhere and lands it, because that's the only way I feel like he will end up beating Tyson Fury. Tyson Fury is too technical, tactical. He knows how to stay outside, and now that he's working with the Kronk Boxing Gym, this is going to be very tough for Deontay, and knowing that he knows how to work his weight and keep landing on the top of Deontay to wear him down. It's going to be extremely tough. But at least the heavyweight division is back. There's another name in the hat, throwing Helenius in there. If Helenius could keep this storm going after winning this fight, and he's just as tall as Tyson, I think this could be a very interesting situation. But Tyson is, from what I've heard, I don't believe it's true, but I want to see. They're saying in his next two or three fights, he will end up retiring. So I want to see if Deontay does put him in a situation where he loses and he wants to get his belt back, or, you know, just to build that storm up. I don't want him to walk away from the game, but he did end up winning the WBC. So it's like he's sitting on top of the world. But knowing that he's in the same region as Anthony Joshua, and Anthony Joshua has all of Klitschko's belts after, you know, Tyson Fury lost all of those belts due to, you know, his personal reasons and the demons that he was fighting. But I know he would love to fight Anthony Joshua, but this is great for the sport of boxing. And for UFC, the only real fight I really want to see is I want to see what Conor does to try and build himself back up, to try and build up the gall to try and fight Khabib, but I doubt that happens if it is for that type of storm of a fight. But everything is there. Israel definitely did his job up against Yoel Romero, and knowing those guys try to stay away from each other because they're both dangerous, that's probably why a lot of people felt that, you know, the fire of that fight wasn't there, but it happened, and it was a unanimous decision in favor of Israel Adesanya. Okay, so I want to get to NBA before we get out of here. Now, first and foremost, let me get, like, the elephant in the room out of the way. And I just talked about Barclays being 45 minutes away from me. Kenny Atkinson, the head coach of the Brooklyn Nets, chooses to part ways from the organization at this point in time of the season. Now, I'm sorry that I'm laughing, right? But it's not like I'm laughing because it's a funny matter. This is a very serious situation. He leaves this team right now while they are sitting at 7th seed in the Eastern Conference, right? Even though they're not having the best of season, they're 28-34. This is what I'm pissed about with the Eastern Conference, where they it's like almost every year, either 6-8 or 7-8, they're under 500, which is a given. I just don't find the strength in the Eastern Conference anymore, even though the Raptors did win the championship last year. So I respect that, you know. But he's leaving them right now where they're making a playoff push, and Kyrie went down. Like, Kyrie's not there. So it's like they need every piece possible, and they're going to have to go forward with Jock Vaughn, the Kansas point guard, let alone I've been talking about Kansas all day, but the Kansas point guard to run the show and possibly till the end of the season. And they're linking Mark Jackson to be probably one of the candidates to be the head coach next season. I hope that they'll get Mark Jackson. It might be an interesting name outside of that. But with Atkinson to lead this team, and you have not seen this team with KD in a jersey at all. You left before your biggest piece came. Like, I don't get it. So they're saying that he had an argument with the GM, Sean Marks, a former San Antonio Spur and, you know, front office guy now. And he said they're basically saying that he wasn't following the direction of which way they wanted to go with the organization. But it's like, just button that up, deal with it as you may, and then when the following season comes, you got Kyrie and KD there, plus the draft pick and Spencer Dinwiddie. Like, you got pieces and DeAndre Jordan. Like, I feel like everything is set to move forward as strong as possible, and you leave now, like now, like I you may be a good or great NBA, a basketball mind. Just let me just say a basketball mind. But I think a lot of people will not touch you after you leaving right now when the going got tough and you're in the midst of a playoff situation. Not to say that you guys would be favored to knock off the Raptors if it stayed as it is. If you guys are the 7th seed and the Raptors are the 2 seed. But this is a very bad situation. Your thoughts on Kenny Atkinson leaving the Brooklyn Nets at this point in time?
I'm stunned. I'm shocked. I'm overwhelmed. I don't understand it. You know, you got a playoff run coming up more than likely, and the guy just basically quits on the team. You know, this is reminiscent of Jim Moore Jr., what he did to the Falcons and some of these other coaches that left early. It just doesn't make any sense. I don't know where he's coming from. And in this day and age, how the heck are you going to walk away from a great job like the Brooklyn Nets job like that. I don't get it, Ty. I don't know what he's thinking. He must have some personal demons going on. That's the only thing that I can think. Ty, your thoughts on that?
Well, the way that they're making it sound, like the way him and Sean Marks must have been going at it, I think he was trying to address the fact that, I don't know how the conversation went, but I think he's more or less like, okay, well, we're going to go out the draft this way, and I feel like something had to go where they didn't agree on how they're moving forward with trying to get people into Brooklyn. And just like you're saying, that's an ideal job because not only are you in the New York City media or in the realm of being in New York City, you're the new team in New York. Everybody here knows I'm not a New York guy. The only team I like in New York is the New York Rangers hockey-wise. Other than that, I don't like anything New York-wise, right? In which the Knicks have fallen completely off the face of the earth, and they're trying to rebuild themselves up, which I feel like they'll end up getting pieces sooner or later. I feel like they'll be strongly relevant in a year or so, maybe 2 years. But right now, they are not the talk in this area. Like, nobody wants to go to a Knicks game. Like, they sell out. The Garden sells out because of the name Madison Square Garden. The Garden sells out because these businesses buy those tickets up and then try to resell them at the price that's standard for them to feel like they made a good investment on those tickets. Nobody's going to a Knicks game thrilled to watch the Knicks. You have Spike Lee that basically got shown the door at a Knicks game. This guy has spent over $10 million on the Knicks, and they have not shown us any promise. Like, that's happening with the Knicks. So you guys being in Brooklyn at the Barclays, where I feel the Barclays is a way better venue than the Madison Square Garden Arena, even though the Garden's mystique and the name of it is the reason why it's the Mecca, and knowing that a lot of people come in here and play the enormous games in the Garden, it's head and shoulders better to go into Brooklyn and watch a game. It's more comfortable. You can access things better. I feel the environment is cooler. And, of course, me being the hip hop fan, knowing that they play the good music that you love, like Notorious B.I.G. or Fabolous or Jay-Z, knowing Jay-Z could be at those games, just the aura of being at a Brooklyn game is there. So it's like you left before you got probably the top two or top three player in the game because he's been out all season due to injury. Like, you wouldn't hold on and see how the first 15 games look in the 2020-2021 season, let alone you gave up right here at the doorstep of the playoff push. Like, I don't think you would ever get a job at the head coaching position. I think the only team that probably will touch him is Sacramento right now, because Sacramento's situation with Luke Walton is looking questionable, even though they came up with a big win last night. But I don't know. This is a tough situation. I really don't think a lot of teams will try to mess with him after the going got tough and he got pieces that he wasn't willing to wait on. Like, that's tough. But I'm not in that office to hear how that I don't want to say an argument or debate, but how the discussion went down. And I do have to kind of respect his decision because it could have been something that could have been appalling or he wasn't feeling it, but at least just try to see what it looks like and then, like, see the greener pastures at the end of the discussion. You didn't even want to wait it out before you got Kevin Durant and Kyrie to play together. But we'll see how it does work out for the remainder of the season. Hopefully, this doesn't even walk Brooklyn out of the playoff picture. Like, even though I think the closest team is the Wizards are a couple games back from at least being in the discussion, but this is tough for Brooklyn right now to lose their coach at this point in time. Okay. Another elephant in the room. The story of the season has been the Milwaukee Bucks and how well they have been playing this point in time. They have just taken a loss in Los Angeles up against the Lakers, in which Giannis Antetokounmpo goes down with a knee injury, and he will be getting an MRI, I think, today or tomorrow. I think more than likely tomorrow. And they want to see the extent of what happened in a fall where his leg kind of bends it up underneath him. Now, this is the elephant in the room. And I know that I've been, like, going back and forth with people, whether personally here at Sports City, on who should be the MVP, whether it's Giannis, whether it's Jason Tatum, whether it's Anthony Davis, whether it's LeBron, whether it's Kawhi, just to throw names in the hat. And, just to throw it out, like when I used to come in here on the Crossover Cafe and just go, Chris Paul, I'm like, if the Thunder get the three seed or something like that. It's like, you got to give it to Chris Paul, just being funny. But I would love to see Chris Paul get it because he's doing a great job. But Giannis going down at this point in time, knowing that he won the MVP last year, knowing that this year is a situation where he could win back-to-back, this is a terrible situation for the Bucks and for it to possibly fall apart while they're sitting on top of the league with the best record on the season. The Lakers could probably end up catching them if Giannis is out for a good duration of time and the Bucks lose their stride. Your thoughts on Giannis going down with a knee situation?
Well, for starters, I'm going to mention that I was pretty angry the other night watching Milwaukee against the Lakers. Not sure what Vegas was thinking about that game, making the Lakers only 1.5-point favorites. Lakers are far superior, in my opinion, after seeing that game. I know it was unfortunate Giannis very late in the game tweaked his knee or whatnot. I hope he's all right. You know, I don't wish any sickness or ill health on anyone, but I'm disgusted with the Bucks. I'm quite frankly, I think they'll lose today without Giannis. I'm not impressed. I'm really not. I think there was a lot of hype on them. I think the All-Star break gave Giannis his shining moment or whatever, but I think it's over. I don't think they're going to make the finals. I think there's no way. I just don't see this team as a very good team now. I mean, I know one game should not matter, and the games before that, they looked well. But I'm disgusted with Milwaukee right now. I hope they lose every game. Really hope they lose today by 20 points. I can't stand them. You know, I mean, yes, they might have cost me a little ticket in Vegas. But you know what, Ty? You're not supposed to keep going against the team, but I'm turning on Milwaukee now. I'm disgusted with that team.
Okay, they are in a favorable situation today, even though it is in the desert. They are playing the Phoenix Suns. So even though I love Devin Booker, I can't even lie. Like, he's a great player, but I think a lot of things have to happen right for Phoenix, which this is a winnable game. I feel like this is a trap game if you're in Vegas trying to make this happen in the sport book, but I know a lot of people probably try to give Milwaukee the edge for the bounce back when Phoenix can come up with the upset win here. But I feel like Milwaukee should win this game. I feel like they should win the game, but I don't. This is one of those games, if I were in the book, it's like stay away from it because you don't know what can happen. Like, Devin could get hot because Giannis ain't around right now. So, but I wouldn't totally shut the door on Milwaukee. I still feel like it's there. The possibility is there for them to make it happen in the Eastern Conference, especially to try and nudge their way out of the first round. If everything stays how it is, they go up against the Orlando Magic, which I feel like the Orlando Magic has interesting pieces there, but I feel like they will get swept out of the first round, especially trying to deal with the Bucks the way that they're playing. And I feel like if it's something that he needs a week or two worth of rest, the Bucks will clearly give him a week or two worth of rest so they could be ready for April, May, and June if they can get there. So I wouldn't totally, you know, close the door on Milwaukee, but this is a tough situation, and I hear you, especially with the frustration of losing on a ticket out there. So interesting in itself. But I want to hear what they say about the MRI, and I don't want to see him injured. Like, I want to see everybody on a clean slate, but
right.
Stuff that is at this point in time, at the beginning of March, where this, every bit of basketball is just a frenzy. Like, I love this feeling. Like, it's like basketball Christmas right now when March comes around, like everything. And then, you know, buzzer beaters, people losing games that they shouldn't be losing, or losing a nail-biter game where everybody's like, what's going to happen next? This is pandemonium. Okay.
That's exactly right.
The next situation I have, right, is the Houston Rockets situation right now. The Rockets have been playing small ball ever since they got rid of Clint Capella. Clint Capella is now with the Atlanta Hawks, right, in which the Rockets are playing up and down. You'll get games where they're playing, I want to say, as a cohesive unit. Everything is flowing fine. And then they play a game like last night up against the Charlotte Hornets, and they lose this game by 9. Now, here's a situation where I want to be fair to the Houston Rockets, right? And I know these guys just left my organization within a 8-year realm because Harden left in 2012 after the championship run, and then Russell Westbrook just left last year. They also have pieces like Jeff Green that was a part of the Thunder. They also have Thabo Sefolosha, who was a part of the Thunder, in which this Houston Rockets team is on a three-game losing streak, in which they just lost an interesting game to the Clippers where the Clippers were up more than what the score showed. They lost by 15 in Texas. They were getting blown out, and this was a back-to-back. So Russell Westbrook sat out up against the Hornets, and this took place in Charlotte. They lose this game by 9, in which James Harden goes off for a quadruple-double. But the quadruple part is one of those stats that people don't really want to count, but it happened. He had 10 turnovers, too. So he had 30 points, he had 15 and 14, and he had 10 assists, right? What's going on here? I wonder what D'Antoni is going to do, because now it's not like you can hide it anymore. You're a great offensive mind. I'm going to do the pros and cons. Like, you're a great offensive mind. You get the maximum out of a lot of players that know how to, you know, get the ball scored, things like that. But with you continuing to coach and not stress the importance of defense, and let alone that you are trying to attack the rest of the NBA with this small ball, I feel like it puts a detriment to this team, not only trying to overexert themselves, but health-wise, these guys can end up getting injured playing guys that are way bigger than them, even though these guys are strong. I don't want to take anything away from Covington or P.J. Tucker, players like that, but these guys are on a losing streak. They go up against the Magic, and this is at home today, which they need to win this game at home. I think Russell Westbrook will be back for the team, because they can't lose anymore. But your thoughts on this Rockets team, how they're trying to attack the future with the small ball, but they are now losing. They lost to the Knicks at the end of the game. They got blown out by the Clippers at home, and now the Hornets take care of business, and they come up against in a back-to-back situation up against the Magic today at 7 o'clock.
I got one word for you, Ty. Backfired. That's exactly what this small ball happened yesterday in Charlotte. That was a stunning upset. I feel like maybe Houston kind of took them lightly. I think Houston will be okay, but right now the small ball is not looking very well. Like you said, we got a great offensive-minded coach. Will they come back? They'll come back strong, you know. Luckily, I was not on Houston yesterday, or I would have had a meltdown. I'm sure people were breaking their TVs and whatnot, watching Houston lose outright to Charlotte, of all teams, a lower Houston team, Ty. I mean, people, I'm sorry, somebody in Vegas broke a TV. And a couple of people probably jumped off the roof somewhere, because that was quite an upset. And I think Charlotte started out up 19-0 or something, Ty. Now, that's just inexcusable. Mm-hmm. I mean, Charlotte does not blow teams out, but they got up on Houston, and it was a juggernaut. But I think in the end, though, I trust Houston to bounce back. I think they'll be okay. I think Wes and James will be all right. But the small ball experiment right now, the word is backfired. Ty, your thoughts?
I love it that you're using that word, backfired, right? I just don't think it's going to work. Like, they waited too long to try to put some new scheme into attack, at least the Western Conference, but it's more or less every team that they play on their schedule. And I feel like this is a panic situation. Let me just try to work all of you guys in there. But knowing I'm going to feature James Harden and Russell Westbrook to attack defenses, whether you're going to deal with the speed and power of Russ or the crafty shiftiness of James Harden. But this is definitely throwing James Harden's game off. James Harden's not hitting threes at the clip that he used to. I feel like that this, not only is it the small ball, but the experiment of trying to put Russ and Harden together is still not working the way that they wanted to. Yes, they are going to win games. Yes, that potential is there. But something's not right. Harden don't look like himself. And now, more than likely, like the storm has been building. Like, this is more or less looking like it's Russell Westbrook's team. This is looking like it's Russell Westbrook's team. This is Russell Westbrook's team right now. Like, I think he took over from Harden. Like, Harden is the more interesting player because he's been here and Russ just got there. But I feel like with Russ sitting out yesterday, it shows you what's going on in Houston right now. I don't feel like they are as comfortable as they should be with Harden when he's been there manning the ship since 2012.
Like, this is tough. Like, and then Tony's going to have to try and figure this out, not now, but right now. And looking at every coach that has come in and out of that door from Houston with James Harden, Kevin McHale, Dan Tony right now, too. Like, there's been some interesting names that hasn't set well. And what if this ends up leading to Dan Tony losing his job because he doesn't have a scheme and he's sitting up there with Tyson Chandler at the end of the bench? Like, you don't want to have a center in there? Like, what is he doing? He's a cheerleader? Like, hey, whatever you want to do, Mike D'Antoni, but this is going to be tough. If the Thunder win their game today, which this is going to be a tough situation, yeah, I'm talking personally. I got it. If they win their game up against Boston, they jump in front of the Rockets at this point in time. What would that be for Russell Westbrook to see that the Thunder are in a better position than the Rockets? Boy, you know I'm at the edge of my seat to watch this game, but this game was up against the Boston Celtics today. It's a lot of interesting games today. The Battle of Los Angeles goes down. This is round three. This takes place as the primetime game, nationally televised, 3:30. The Thunder versus Celtics today. I think the Indiana Pacers game, if the Pacers want to bounce back, they have an interesting game up against Dallas. Dallas has been tough right now with Porzingis' resurgence and Luka re-entering the lineup as well. They've been playing better ball. And Toronto and Sacramento, that's one of those games you got to watch out for. That could be a trap game because Sacramento, they're trying to make something happen at the latter point of the season. But I don't know how the eighth seed will fold out because Memphis is playing stronger too. But there's some interesting games for the evening. Your thoughts at least on the Battle of L.A., which is coming up in a few hours.
That's going to be a barn burner, Ty. I'm looking forward to it. It'll be a tight matchup. I just hope the Clippers could offer a little more resistance than the lowly Milwaukee Bucks. As far as your Oklahoma City, I'm assuming they're traveling to Boston because I remember the last time they played in Oklahoma, Chris Paul hit a shot that was very nice for me at the buzzer. But that's a tough game in Boston, even though Boston the other night blew a huge lead against Brooklyn at home. Oklahoma City definitely has a shot in that game. They just got to stay focused for four quarters. Bold prediction in the Clippers-Lakers, I think it goes to overtime. Ty, your thoughts on that?
Here goes the crazy part. You said that you want them to hold it together. The Clippers are 2-0 up against the Lakers. The Lakers have not beaten them so far. So this is something that I know LeBron has to get off his chest to try to win, especially while the Clippers are scorching hot. They are beating everybody up by 14 or better. Like, they just went up in the OKC and had the Thunder looking crazy. Like, the Thunder couldn't deal with them at all. And just went to Houston, and just like I said a little while ago, beat up on the Rockets as well. So they are playing at an interesting clip. This is in favor of the Clippers fans. It's not a Lakers fan game. So the Clippers are home. So it'll be all black in there. And again, like I said, this is a game where Kawhi has to look at this like playoff, you know, implemented, if you will, and have to force his will up against LeBron, not let LeBron do what he wants to do. And you know LeBron tried his best to stay away from Kawhi, so I know they're going to try and set up a lot of screens so he can get him away. But Paul George is a good defender too, so this is going to be an incredible game. I want to see how it looks now while the Lakers are sitting atop the Western Conference and the Clippers have their number thus far. No matter how you look at it, they're 2-0 up against them. So I favor the Clippers. I favor the Clippers. I feel like they can get it done, but if the Lakers want to win this game, I think it's more or less the Anthony Davis show. Anthony Davis is going to have to go off for them to win this game. I feel like LeBron has carried them far enough. You know, Anthony Davis is being considered probably being the MVP, but now a lot of people are building up the storm for LeBron to be the MVP. I want to see how this pans out for this Laker team, but I will have my popcorn ready 30. So who do you like, Lakers or Clippers for the matchup?
Well, I'm gonna go with the Lakers in overtime. I think they sneak by them. 118-115 is your final score, Ty. I just think, like you said, there's motivation for the Lakers. They look pretty inspired against Milwaukee. I think the Lakers continue it on. They are really trying to get this championship for Kobe, and that would be a great story. You know, does it always happen like that? No, but would it be a great story? Absolutely, yes.
It would be a great story. I feel like it's there. I feel like the story is there, but it's just something about the Lakers. I feel like they might end up falling short. I still, even if the Lakers do win the championship, and Kobe, now that you've passed away, I love you, man. And my dislike toward you was because of the competitive nature, not because of the person. But I would want to see them try to get one. But I don't want to see him win it, because look at LeBron every time he wins the championship. They stacked the deck for him to win it. It's him being a big point forward, right? And they have Anthony Davis, JaVale McGee, Dwight Howard. They got rid of DeMarcus Cousins to make that look like, okay, we'll be fair. But they had bigs all over that team, and let alone if they got – now they got shooters. So this is what makes the Lakers dangerous. So they set this team up for LeBron to look good. I want one team to have the gall to knock them off, but it'll be tough, especially in the Western Conference, where it won't be easy for the Lakers to get it, but it will be tough for them to knock them off. But I don't want it to be easy street for the Lakers to get one. I won't respect it. I won't. It's the same way that the Heat did it when they had everybody together in LeBron's run with Cleveland, even though it was an interesting run that they came back from 3-1 down, but he had 10 All-Stars on his team. Like, I like the underdog situation. I love that. Okay, so we are at the latter point of the show. I know we had to close up early due to some personal situations here in the building. So, Matt, thank you for coming through here on the brunch. I need a plug, closeout, shout-out, anything that you'd like to promote as we get out of the doors on the Sunday morning brunch.
Well, this is Petrie's Finest. We're going to give a shout-out to Timeless coming back to me. Had some stuff go on a couple nights ago, but I'm glad to be here today. It's a great day to be alive. Your health is your wealth. And let's get ready for some great basketball today and some great basketball throughout March, Ty. Have a great day. Thanks for having me on the show.
He is not lying. It was a great day for basketball. I appreciate everything. I'm nervous. Sports City, I am completely nervous because, of course, you know I live in the New England area. I am surrounded by Knicks fans, but I am also around a lot of Celtics fans. And my boys have to pull this or try to pull this off up there in the TD Garden. Like, if they can get this game, this will put us at least in fifth place, because the Jazz are a little bit ahead of us. But if we can catch the Jazz, we own the tiebreaker over the Rockets and the Jazz for the season right now. So this would be interesting to see the Thunder at least catch both of these teams. And I know that would just sting a little bit more to Russell Westbrook leaving his team for dead. And even myself, I will admit it on air, I did not think that the Thunder would be at this point in time in this season to be in any playoff talk. I thought I would be in a season of suffering. Like, I was like, there's no way that we can make the playoffs. Not only are they in the picture, they can push to be in the top half of the playoff bracket, whether 4 or 3. If they catch 2, you'll hear me all show long talking about Thunder. I try my best to stay away from my boys, but I will talk crap all show long about the Thunder if they catch a 2 seed. But I don't think they'll catch a 2 seed. The Clippers are playing better now, so I think it's the battle of the lay up top. But we could definitely catch the Nuggets, we can catch the Jazz, and we can catch the Rockets. It's all within their realm, but it starts today in Massachusetts. Sports City, y'all take care on that. Telephone to telephone that it's the chefs again. And if they don't know, now they know.